Welcome to Scope It Out with Dr. Tim Smith. In this episode, Dr. Smith will be speaking with Dr. David Kennedy, editor of the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology. They will discuss the article, Defining Appropriateness Criteria for Endoscopic Sinus Surgery During Management of Uncomplicated Adult Chronic Rhinosinusitis. This edition of Scope It Out is sponsored by an educational grant from Intersect ENT, developers of the Propel Mometasone Furoate Sinus Implant. Propel is the only FDA-approved, bioabsorbable implant designed to prop open the post-surgical ethmoid sinus and gradually deliver an advanced corticosteroid directly to the sinus lining over 30 days. Propel is clinically proven to improve post-operative outcomes by reducing the need for additional surgical procedures and systemic steroids, and is the only product in sinus surgery backed by level 1A clinical evidence. Please visit www.propelopens.com for further information.
I'm really privileged and honored today to be joined by a true pioneer in endoscopic sinus surgery. He's also the editor of our journal, the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology, Dr. David Kennedy. Welcome to the podcast, David.
Thanks, Tim.
I want to talk to you about appropriateness criteria for endoscopic sinus surgery and your history in that area. But before we jump into that, can you give us an update on the journal itself?
Yes, the journal is doing extremely well. We are in a situation now, though, that although we have moved to monthly publication and increased the number of pages, we are going to need to be more selective in terms of articles that we pick for publication. We are going to be really looking for articles that provide new scientific knowledge, that really contribute to the literature. So I think moving forwards, we're not going to be looking for just good articles, but really for articles which make a significant contribution.
It's a challenge, I guess, but it's a good challenge to have.
It's an excellent situation to be in. We're absolutely delighted with the success of the journal. And of course, we rely very heavily on our reviewers, and I would like to really thank the reviewers who work for the journal. Moving forwards, they are actually going to be recognized in the future because the journal has signed on with a new service called Publons, and that actually provides them with information that they'll be able to use on resumes and funding applications and provides information from a number of different journals about the reviewers. So I'm really delighted that this is going to be moving forwards.
Well, that's great. Great. Can't wait for that to get started and to hear more about that. And I honestly can't imagine the pride you must feel looking back to the beginning, the initiation of this journal, and how far this journal has come now. Has it been 7 years?
I think it's been 6 or 7 years, that's right. And it has moved forwards very nicely. What we want to do moving forwards is to make it more of an interactive forum. That is really the next goal. The journal itself has become very well established. As I say, we're going to be a bit more selective in terms of what we accept. But then we also want to make this truly a forum for rhinology, an online forum, and we're starting to make some movements in that direction.
Well, that's great. I guess this podcast series is somewhat a part of that, and I'm sure there are more great things to come, and I think we all really look forward to it.
Absolutely, Tim. I think this is a great initiation of getting things out of just a print publication.
Great. Okay, so now on to the appropriateness criteria. I spoke with Luke Rudnick, who, of course, has published this latest appropriateness criteria study in the journal. And I imagine you started thinking about this general concept as far back as the mid-80s. I wonder, when did you start thinking about how to quantify, for lack of a better word, the appropriate candidates for this surgical procedure?
I actually think the initial concerns about appropriateness criteria came with the strong movement towards managed care in the late 80s and early 90s. It was really, I think the insurance industry that began to look at this issue fairly carefully. As far as I remember it, it was the insurance issue that set up the first RAND criteria evaluation, a multidisciplinary effort.
This was the 1994 Value Health Sciences effort?
That's correct. I believe that that Value Health Sciences was funded through the insurance industry, but I don't know that for sure.
And those criteria, they more or less said that in order to be considered appropriate for sinus surgery in adult chronic sinusitis, you had to have a strong history combined with a positive CT scan and at least 4 weeks of antibiotic therapy.
In those days, Tim, we really thought more of chronic sinusitis, and particularly the insurance industry, felt that this was more of an infective process than an inflammatory process. And I think our thinking has changed significantly since then. And certainly, I don't think anyone would advocate for a prolonged course of antibiotics in patients with nasal polyposis at this point in time,
prior to
surgical intervention.
Yeah, and it's interesting if you fast forward 20 years to these most recent appropriateness criteria. Now, if you look at patients with chronic rhinosinusitis without nasal polyposis, they need to have a objective disease on a CT scan and a minimum trial of either topical corticosteroid spray plus a short course of broad-spectrum culture-directed antibiotics or a prolonged macrolide-type antibiotic. And then, of course, you have to have the sinonasal outcomes test score. You have to meet the mark on that as well. But it still seems to me, David, honestly, it still seems to me that we have a long way to go to truly develop appropriateness criteria for the various phenotypes or, I guess, endotypes and phenotypes that we see in chronic rhinosinusitis.
You're exactly right, Tim. The problem is that it's a syndrome and not a disease, and we don't have a good classification for it yet.
That's part and parcel to developing the appropriateness criteria, is first defining what it is we're treating.
Correct. I think that this really is a step forwards, but we still need to have a better classification of the disease before we can refine the appropriateness criteria even more.
Do you think these most recent appropriateness criteria, do they help in terms of preventing overuse or overutilization of sinus surgery?
I think many people are concerned about the overuse of sinus surgery at this point in time. Although it's a critical part of the overall management of chronic sinusitis in many cases, it probably is being overutilized at this point in time. So any step that we can help to guide people in terms of what's appropriate, I think, is helpful. And the old guidelines were clearly well out of date. So this is very helpful.
I really do appreciate your perspective on this. You've kind of lived the history of this particular intervention over the course of the last 30-plus years. So to get your thoughts on this, I think it's really valuable. Again, David, thank you for everything you do for the journal and that you do for our specialty. We really appreciate you and all the work that you've dedicated to the specialty over decades now.
Thanks very much, Tim.
I look forward to seeing you somewhere in the world very soon. Okay, David?
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you for listening. Scope It Out with Dr. Tim Smith is a co-production of the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology and Wiley. It was directed, edited, and coordinated by Joe Troiano, with voiceover by Anne-Marie Alvarez and music by Alex Ramsdell. All opinions in this podcast are those of Dr. Smith and his guests and do not necessarily reflect those of Wiley or the sponsors.